Hello and welcome to All Remote Podcast.
My name is Ilana.
And my name is Anya.
And we are your hosts.
All Remote Podcast aims to give space for all remote advocates to share ideas and insights into the future of work.
We believe the future of work should create equal opportunities for everyone, regardless of their location, gender, or any other category.
Enjoy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of All Remote Podcast. This one is a bit special because we are talking to Alex, the CEO and founder of Deel, which I'm sure you already know what we do and who Alex is. But Alex, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, super excited to be here. It's been fun seeing you building it from the sidelines. So I'm very honored to be one of your guests.
The honor is all ours, Dion. You know, we paved the way, and now it's time for the people to meet you, meet the true Alex behind Deel. Speaking of, we know who you are formally, but tell us a bit about you. So who is Alex outside of Deel?
I don't know. Alex outside of Deel. Haven't been that for a while, unfortunately.
Is there Alex?
Sure. My background, I'm originally from Paris. I grew up in Paris. When I was pretty young, I left for university in Israel. I did my BA at the Technion in environmental engineering. After that, I did my master's in the US in Cambridge at MIT. That's actually where I met our dear co-founder, Shuo. Back at the time, it's been 8 years now. Well, it's been quite a while. So I studied there. I did a lot more of environmental engineering as well as software as well. After that, I decided that for some reason, I don't know what got to my mind at that point, but I decided I wanted to pursue a PhD. So I moved to the UK, started my PhD at Imperial College, still more environmental engineering and more software, which is actually kind of nice because remote work does help the environment quite a bit. So, you know, going back to my roots somehow.
That's good.
Yeah, right. And then a year into that, I decided that I wanted to build entrepreneurship was what I wanted to do. Coming from a family of entrepreneurs, you know, I had that in my blood. So started building some companies, built, you know, a couple, some that were successful, some a little less so, but, you know, every failure is a learning. About a year ago, I started working, about a year and a half ago now, I started working on Deel with Shuo and you as well. So that's been, a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been a fun ride this past year and a half. But going back to the beginning, you gave us a bit of an intro how Shuo and you met, but I know the story and I love it. So it's really interesting how you came up with the idea to build Deel. Can you share a bit more with our listeners?
Well, you were at the forefront of that. But, you know, there's some sides you know and there's some sides you don't know in terms of why we started building Deel and how we built it. When we really early on, when we were working on Deel, we wanted to help people work together. We wanted to help company anywhere being able to work with. At the time, it was more a freelancer anywhere else in the world. And basically, when we got into YC, you know, we tried a lot. We tried different ways. You know, the early stage of building a product, try to understand what are we really solving? What do people need? Like, how can we build something people want? And we iterated quite a bit. And what we realized at some point, actually, it's one of our close friends from YC that was the first person to use the product that way. What we realized at some point is that there's no real easy way for a company to start engaging with their remote teams. And when we started, we didn't really know how to do it right. And we just learned the hard way. And we figured that compliance was a really big deal. And it was a lot more than just, you know, making a transaction. Understanding who you're paying, why you're paying them, has been really like the key of building Deel. And yeah, the idea basically came on that front from my family, actually. Coming from a family of entrepreneurs that built a company from ground to IPO. My father actually had quite a bit of problems with paying contractors around the world and employees around the world. So when he saw what we were doing around the payments part, he was like, you're just missing out on the big pictures on how to make companies actually be able to work with those people from a legal perspective, not just, you know, in the transaction itself. That was kind of like the premise of Deel. And then, you know, as funny as that may sound, we just got tracked by our users and we just followed the way into building the product they wanted.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I remember the early days talking to our users. I think all of us, all from the team back then, really participated and engaged with people and just listened to what what they need, basically, right?
Yeah, still today. I mean, you know, a lot of our product roadmap is being built by Intercom right now. You know, it's because they want. So we're trying to keep up to that. You know, that's what keeps us close to our users. I think it attributes quite a bit to kind of the success we've had so far.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So it's been quite a year and a half since the beginning. And I just want to ask you personally, like, what were some of the most memorable moments? So not necessarily for the company and how it was built, but for you. So when you're reflecting on the year, what was the good, bad, and the ugly?
Oh, there are so many. You know, top of mind, you know, for sure getting into YC when we butchered that interview was really emotional, specifically as an entrepreneur that had, you know, wanted to get funded by YC and had tried like two or three times before. So that was really great. Our first user, I mean, I think I remember our first real transaction, which was actually one of our batchmates, Ashu from Sansama. He started creating that contract on deal with his teammate. And I don't know if you remember, we were in San Francisco and we're like, wow, what's happening there? That guy just paid that person $8,000 per deal. So that was a really big moment for me, at least. Obviously, you know, getting some of our bigger customers, some of those, you know, I don't think I can say the names, but, you know, we had a few big customers that started using the platform. So that was really awesome, seeing them, you know, onboard their team and making that first payment. Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, when we eventually did close that Series A with Andreessen and Anish joined our board, that has been a very memorable moment. So, you know, it's been shared memorable moments across the team with our teammates. And I'm sure there's so many more that are coming. And I'm sure that I could go on forever. And there's so many specific things that were really interesting so far in the company. But it's only been a year.
Yeah.
Like, give me another two or three and we'll have we can do that for 24 an hour or two.
All right. So 2-3 years from now, we'll do a marathon where we will share all the memorable moments.
I'll start taking notes. I'm sure, like, yeah, we were looking at some pictures with Shuo for the press release about, like, you know, some of the pictures we had together. And yeah, we have so many weird pictures in like VC's offices doing stupid stuff. Or yeah, it's been really fun. It's been a really good year, to be honest.
Yeah, well, more fun to come, I'm sure. We're just getting started, no doubt about that. So you mentioned a memorable moment, and I think it's a really big one. And we just recently announced a successful A series funding, and a really interesting thing about that. So you were actually taking the meetings during the virus outbreak, and you couldn't do physical meetings as you usually would. So how did that work over Zoom or Skype or whichever platform you use?
Well, to be completely fair, and Anish had met me before, and every single investor that, you know, had competing term sheet on that round had met me in person before. But yes, we did raise, you know, we started the fundraising March 19th, which was literally in the middle of the coronavirus outbreak. So
great start.
Right day. Well, you know, the luck we had is we didn't go out to fundraise. You know, we were lucky enough that some great people thought what we were working on was interesting. They believe in what we're building. They believe in our thesis. They believe in the approach we're taking. So, you know, Anish built a really strong thesis around what we were doing, and I'm very thankful for it, and I'm excited to work with him on that. But yeah, I mean, it was a fun experience. You know, I think we should release a post on that at some point, but we did do that whole round through Zoom. I think raising $14 million through Zoom is not too bad. You know, had a lot of calls with Anish. I think there's two calls that were really fun as well. I had a call with Ben Horowitz. It was very stressful, actually. Don't tell him. Don't make him listen to it either. But I was really excited for that. And then we actually had a lot of fun during that call. So that was one of my highlights of that process. And then, yeah, we had a full GP meeting, the whole Andreessen team pitching deal. I think that's their standard procedures as well. And yeah, it was nerve-wracking, actually. We pitched like 40 people, and, you know, you can only see so many on Zoom. So that part was fun as well. You know, truthfully, I'm dying to go see Anish and, you know, shake his hand and see Matt. You don't know Matt, but Matt was really involved in the deal as well. So I'm dying to go shake their hands, sit down, discuss even further the company, you know, face-to-face time, no matter what, is always really critical and is always really important. So I'm dying for that. But yes, A to Z, it was fully raised on Zoom. So, you know, thanks to the Zoom team for building a great product.
Yeah, thanks Zoom. Thanks for making remote work work. and especially during the crisis situation that we just faced. So yeah, cool. Exciting things to come for sure. And yeah, well, we have a pretty bold vision for Deel. I think it expands as we grow and we just get more and more determined to make good things and build a product that's really good for many users. So I will give you the floor to share more about it. So what is Deel's vision at this point?
You know, I can't share everything. That'll be spoiling the fun, but...
Okay, what you can share, tease people.
What can I share out of Deel today? So, you know, obviously what we're building here, very straightforward. We want to make it really easy for anyone to hire someone anywhere in a couple of clicks. But really, the key process here is making it not only compliant, but making the process for both the same way it'd be for someone local. You know, trying to challenge this idea that the world is made out of a 30-mile radius when you're hiring only. And the way we're looking at it is, if we can pull it off, whether it's hiring as an independent contractor compliantly, whether it's hiring as an FTE compliantly in a couple of clicks, then you're just going to have so many talents that are going to be able to work for great companies all around the world. And I mean, you know, that's what I think is bound to happen. The real underlying mission of Deel, which some people might challenge, but that's what really drives us, is that the way we're looking at it today is making people that are working as contractor on par with their employee counterparts. So shipping a lot of products that made them as, from a financial situation, from a benefits and perks situation, on, you know, literally on par. We actually believe that the contracting model is the most interesting thing that has happened over the last few years to work and to the workforce. And I think there's a huge gap in how people that are operating on that model are treated and how they are, you know, the services that they have. And, you know, I want to say that within the next 1-2 years, could be in a better position. Hopefully you'll be in a better position being a Deel contractor than a regular employee.
That sounds really interesting, and I cannot wait to see how that plays out. But yeah, for such a big thing we're trying to build and trying to make, we need a lot of people. And I know we've been growing super fast. Like when I joined, which was a year and a half ago, right? We were 5-6 people, right? We were a small team. Now we're close to 20. If I'm not mistaken, and it will only get bigger, right? We're planning on hiring more people.
Yeah, it will. You know, there's for sure pros and cons to building a remote team. Thankfully, since I've never worked non-remote, I do not know the cons of doing it that way.
makes the two of us.
Yeah, right. I think the con is that I don't get to be with you all day. But anyway, you'd get sick of me pretty fast, so that's not too bad. you know, the way I look at it is, I think if you're the right person for the company, if you're the right person for the job, you being in Belgrade, for example, shouldn't be the reason why you don't work with us. And we want to make that work. And in that spirit, you know, I mean, we can talk about how to run and how to hire remote for ages. Our theory is really simple. First, I don't think the world is black and white. I don't think everyone is going remote or everybody's going to the office. I think obviously it is going to be a mix of both. And some people are going to be a lot more comfortable with being remote, like you and I. Some others will need an office. So I think we're going to see more and more companies taking the leap on, you know, generally hiring globally and not having everybody in one place. In terms of our personal growth, but it's been great, right? Like now we are 20 people from 10 different countries, you know, without spoiling our future, hopefully our newest hires, one from Turkey that lives in Canada, one from the UK. So it's, you know, it's great to have such a diverse team. I'll say like the one thing that we need to stay true to is, one, hiring really great people. I think we've done pretty well for ourselves on that front.
I agree. So far, so good.
Yeah. And the second thing is hiring very entrepreneurial people. So that goes both ways. That goes like, as you know, and I try to do my best, Tanya, you know, at a managerial level, trying to not micromanage too much and bringing that level of trust. But also, you know, if you hire independent people, then if that trust is there, right? If you think of an office, you miss the part of them being with you. And then the other reason why people work in office is to be able to look above the shoulders of their employees, right? So if you think about it differently, and if you, you know, you acknowledge the fact that you're gonna not be able to see them all the time, and you try to compensate through different chats and retreats and spending as much time as you can for building that culture. Then, you know, the trust aspect is the most important part here. If you really trust your team, and if you're wholeheartedly secure, you feel secure about them executing, then you will never have to look over their shoulders. And that's what I try to do. Every time I hire for a deal, I'm trying to hire people that I know I can feel they'll get their job done, and they'll make the company shine without needing me in bothering them, basically.
Yeah. So let's say a year from now, we are hopefully going to be a lot bigger than we are right now. But from a CEO perspective, from like a remote manager perspective, how do you envision your team to look like? So not necessarily which positions, how big in numbers, but what is, like, if you can paint a picture of a really good team for you, how would that look?
So we're always going to be lean, that's for sure. Like, we're not going to, you know, hire for the sake of hiring. We're going to be really picky on who we bring on the team. I don't expect us to grow to a couple hundred people within the next year. We want to keep a strong core team. My approach to it, and, you know, maybe we'll talk in 6 months or a year and we'll have a different chat about it. But my approach to it, as I'm figuring it out, is that I've realized that if you hire really great people at the management level as well, then, you know, the next thing you need to do is give them the key to their department. So, you know, if you look at Emmet, if you look at Dan, if you look at Yalon, on the, you know, the different departments that they all represent, ops, technology or sales, what we're trying to achieve here is say, hey, it is your team. You run it however you want. You want to be in office, be in office. You want to be remote, be remote. That part of the team, you hire the people you want to feel comfortable with. Right. So if you look at Dan, our CEO, he's doing kind of a mix of both. He wants some people in New York, and then he's happy to hire some people remote. If you look at Yalon, you know, apart from the core team that's fully distributed already on the engineering side, the new people he's trying to hire, he wants closer to him. So, you know, my view of the organization is top down, really. If the managers we bring on board in the company in their respective role are really happy and get to build the structure, they're going to be the more comfortable running remotely. Then it becomes like small remote teams within the company, and it makes the whole company itself a lot more efficient and a lot leaner as well, I think.
Yeah, sounds about right. Yeah. Well, I can talk to you about this for hours, and I'm sure people are interested. So we will explore different formats, and maybe we will find another way for you to share all this insight, because
it's interesting there. You know, it's something, you know, I think there's a couple of companies that have made remote work really work, right? If you look at GitLab, at Zapier, and some of those companies, it's really amazing to see what they've built. I think, although they've done a good job, but, you know, every company is different, and all of us will have to figure out what our style is. So, you know, that's my approach to it. We'll see what it leads to. We'll see if it's successful. I'm pretty confident about it. So, you know, let's maybe write something in 6 months and see how it worked out.
I would love that. I think we have a lot of stories to compare and share. So yeah, it'll be interesting to take a look back what we have done in a couple of years. Yeah. So to finish off, I always ask this question, and I heard some pretty interesting answers. So let me ask you as well. How do you envision the future of work?
Oh, that's a very deep question. Well, I mean, there's lots of layers to it. First, I think there's going to be so many more companies that are going to be much more open to hiring all over the world. So we're going to see a rise of, you know, talents being onboarded in the best companies in the world, which is going to, you know, redistribute wealth, and it's going to give opportunities to people that didn't have it. And, you know, that's thanks to the internet in general, right? If you look at all the great content that has been out there, if you look at Josh, for example, our developer, not saying that he wouldn't have had a great opportunity, but he completely self-learned, right? He's a beautiful little city of Maradumim in the middle of nowhere. So if you take that, I think lots of great talent, similarly to Josh, are going to be able to grow everywhere around the world. And so, you know, first very non-bold statement is we're going to see a lot of companies that are going to start hiring everywhere. And hopefully we'll be there to support it. Second, well, that's a personal opinion. I think remote work, by definition, empowers this idea of being more independent and less than an employee, where a regular employee is someone that's dedicating 100% fully of their time, that's coming from 9 to 6 in the office and sitting down. And, you know, that's what an employee feels to me. And that's really not what a lot of the definition of an employee will be in the future. There's definitely been a wave of contracting and employment, like merger in terms of like the style of work. And I'm looking forward to see how that's going to develop. I actually think there's some really interesting things that were done in countries like Spain, where, you know, you're a dependent contractor. That means you're working for more than 75% of your time for a company, but not fully. So you get access to a lot of different benefits. And then you also, you know, have some revenue left and right. I really like that idea. I think we're going to see the world moving towards that. So that'd be my second view on, you know, the future of work generally. And other than that, you know, those are my two main takeaways. Like, I think this is where the world is going to go there. I think there's some interesting things that will happen around, you know, the elderly that are going to have to be fixed and things like that. I was discussing that with on one of our earlier interviews. I'm not sure if you remember. I think that's also interesting.
I do.
A totally different topic.
Yeah, it is. But hey, we can record another episode talking about that and expanding the topic.
Well, I think you can get some much more interesting guest speakers.
We'll see about that. All right, Alex. Well, I think people know where to find you and where to find Deal. Just in case, I will link your maybe LinkedIn or Twitter below in the description, so people can bug you and ask you all the questions and just generally hear more about you and Deal as well.
That sounds good. Whenever you want to geek out about remote work, how to do it well. I mean, not that we're doing it well, but we're doing the best we can. you know, exchange ideas and really go, you know, build some of the foundations of that industry. That's honestly, there's still a lot to be built there. And it's really amazing to see so many companies getting there. Yeah, I'm excited to see how many of them are still doing that in a year. I hope a lot of them, but I'm not convinced. So yes, if you do want to geek out around remote work, there's so many topics that personally as a CEO, I don't get to discuss with too many people. So that'd be really fun. But just generally, if you're running a remote team and want to geek out around it, you know, anytime, I'd be super happy to chat.
Sounds good. Expect some people coming in your way.
Thanks, Anya. Have a good one.
Thanks. You too. That's it for this episode of All Remote Podcast. I hope you enjoyed listening to Alex sharing his founder and remote CEO experience. If you know someone who would enjoy listening to this episode, please share. See you next time.